trance music is a subgenre of electronic dance music that developed in the 1990s. Perhaps the most ambiguous genre in the realm of electronic dance music, trance could be described as a melodic, more or less freeform style of music derived from a combination of techno and house. Regardless of its precise origins, to many clubgoers and party throwers, trance is held as a significant development within the greater sphere of modern dance music.
It was on the back end of Italy being the dominant driving force for music with what we were calling piano house and dream house. Also in Holland though, you'd had the Good Men and you'd had labels like Fresh Fruit, which were really kind of funky percussive stuff, and trance kind of emanated out of that really.
That was the legendary Graham Gold, and that's probably as precise an origin as you're going to find. Graham Gold has over 30 years of DJing experience, playing the very best of trance and techno all over the globe. That's not to mention his 15 years at KISS 100 with the radio show he had, and the monthly mixes he still provides for them. He's in the DJ Mag Top 100 just about every year. He's just an absolute legend and one of my biggest influences. Oh, by the way, my name's Ed Deegan. I'm a bedroom DJ working in a hotel in London. I'd like to take you on a journey of all my influences and experiences over the past 16 years that have developed my style of DJing. Music really is my life, and work is just a little side project to earn a bit of cash for equipment and records. I really want to share my passion with you. For many, trance music is a dirty word in that it's associated with a drug culture. I think this does play a big part in the club scene, as anyone who is there week in and week out will tell you.
My name's Mark Vito. I'm a house and trance DJ. I play all over the world for people like Gatecrasher, Slinky's Resident. I've got my own company called Cool Waters, which puts on events all over the world. Play for God's Kitchen, the trance scene and house scene. In fact, every single form of dance music that exists in England has come from a drug sort of orientated culture. Not so that's a bit generalising, but you know, there's an element of drugs in it, because the drugs enhance the experience in the way that your endorphins get released when you take ecstasy or speed or whatever, you know, people decide to take on the night out. So it's kind of carried on through the years, but now playing in China, for example, they don't listen to music on drugs, and the atmosphere is the same and there's the same buzz and vibe about it. And now in England, the scene has changed a lot as well.
I can see how certain drugs can enhance the experience one could get from this music, but I think the way trance is evolving, people are starting to take notice of the music for its value, and we'll soon be able to move away from this black cloud that still looms. I just hope people aren't getting into the scene for the wrong reasons.
Now we've moved on from that era, and now we're into a new era, which is, you know, having been through it for 10 years, I've realised that now the new clubbers aren't into the whole drug side of things, they're actually into the music. But then the music's developed so much, you know, in a trance track you might actually have 30 to 40 different sounds. So it's so complex that there's been value to the music all this time, but I think now the quality and the production and the people involved in doing all the tracks are so advanced with what they're doing that, you know, anyone can appreciate it. So people go to clubs and listen to music not needing drugs and go, wow, this is amazing.
For me, it all goes back to 1990. I was a long-haired grunger, completely against any music which was produced by a computer. This was until I heard the pioneer of electronic music, Jean-Michel Jarre. My friend came back from one of his concerts with a Chronology CD, and it completely blew me away. Jean-Michel Jarre produced Oxygen back in 1976, which really kicked off the scene and put so many ideas in people's heads on where to push their musical boundaries. He still keeps his roots by using the first electronic instrument ever to be made in his live performances, called the theremin. A Russian physicist named Lev Terman, who later changed his name to Leon Theremin, invented this in 1919. Now, the theremin's unique in that it's played without being touched. Two antennas protrude from a box, one controlling pitch and the other controlling volume. And as a hand approaches the vertical antenna, the pitch gets higher. Approaching the horizontal antenna makes the volume get softer. And because there's no physical contact with the instrument, playing the theremin requires very precise skill and perfect pitch.
It was with two antennas, one for the volume, one for the pitch, and I'm trying to deal with it.
Yeah.
As I've said, I'm still a bedroom DJ, but if I was asked to play a crowd tomorrow, I'd definitely be ready. I think one of Jean-Michel's earlier tracks from 1986, Premier Rendezvous, would be a great opener. Even considering today's productions, the uplifting strings and soothing harmonies are absolutely timeless. So let's skip to 1991. I've cut off the long hair and burnt the tie-dye trousers, because after the Jean-Michel experience, I was exploring all the different genres of electronic music just to see what suited me. Then I heard a remix of this tune on a hardcore tape and just knew I had to track it down. In my quest, I discovered the original version, and this defined my focus on the dance bracket of electronic music. This is a landmark track for myself and I think anyone else who's involved in the dance music scene. Moby's such a diverse producer of all musical genres, but this track made him a household name and elevated him to legendary status within the dance music circles. It's been remixed so many times, but I think the original still does it for me. You'll notice the Jean-Michel Jarre style strings, but with full-on beats this time. This is Go. So let's fast forward to 1993. By this time, I was absolutely hooked. I was constantly listening out for new tracks and new DJs, but I found one of the best ways of keeping up with the scene was listening to Radio 1. They were upfront with their playlists and they employed the hottest club DJs around at the time to run their programmes. When I started listening, they had Danny Rampling and Pete Tong doing their shows on Fridays and Saturdays. Pete Tong's Essential Mix on Saturday nights started in 1993 and is still going very strong today. The show invites the best DJs from all over the world to play a two-hour mix of any genre of music they like. This is the first time I would hear Paul Oakenfold, or as I like to think of him, God.
Paul Oakenfold is a genius. He's consistent all the way through his career. As far as trance is concerned, he's a pioneer of so many different things. He's attributed to the launch of the whole scene in the UK. Him, Danny Rampling, Nicky Holloway, they all went off on holiday to Ibiza in the 80s and came back and felt that they wanted to put the experience in the London clubs, and kind of all generated from that.
Paul Oakenfold basically brought the Balearic-style trance scene back from Ibiza in the late 80s, and he's still at the forefront of the industry today, remixing tracks for the likes of Madonna, Brittany Murphy, and even Elvis, whilst playing sets at the world's biggest clubs. So I heard the Goa Essential Mix by Paul Oakenfold in 93, and I think this is the absolute epitome of set programming and the reason why he's dubbed the DJ who takes you on a journey. This mix proved doubters wrong who said that DJs only play other people's records, as he created such a flow and set a fantastic mood. The tracks married together like they were meant to be. I think he remixed this track in his peak. It's by Grace, who's knocked out classics such as Not Over Yet and Down to Earth. This is the opening track on the Goa mix and sets the standard for the whole set. I still get shivers down my spine just thinking about this. This is very much psychedelic trance with really intense organs and very much relaxed, rolling, progressive beats. This is called Skin on Skin, and it's the Paul Oakenfold remix. So after hearing the Goa mix, I funneled my obsession on trance. I had this mix playing in my head constantly for a few years and bought a few commercial essential mix CDs. But now it's 1996 and I'm in Massive Records in Birmingham trying to track down some new underground material. There are a few good mixes going around like Sasha and Digweed's Northern Exposure and Carl Cox, Fact. So I was originally looking to pick up a few CDs. As I entered the shop, this track was playing on the loudspeakers. This tune instantly grabbed me because it was very, very dark, very dirty, very serious, and it used the acidic bleeps and noises that were pretty new then and are now used in the majority of tracks produced today. So I asked the guys behind the desk what the tune was, and they quickly produced a record. I thought, records? They're for old people, aren't they? I thought CDs were the standard. Well, I bought it anyway. And this was basically the start of my road to financial difficulty. But every time I hear this tune, it reminds me that it was so totally worth it. This is Malcolm McLaren, The Bell Song. So let's now push on to the millennium. I've been working in London for a year, regularly going to clubs like the Camden Palace, Turnmills and The Fridge, hearing amazing tunes on a Friday and Saturday night. I'd investigate during the week and pick them up on vinyl, only to have to get up to date with a whole new batch the next week. I didn't even have anything to play them on at this time. This was all during the trance boom, and all these super clubs all over the country like Cream, Gatecrasher and God's Kitchen were the places to be seen. The intense atmosphere in these clubs, with everyone in it together, left the crowds one big happy family. They were all fighting for the same right, and that's to party. I'll never forget one of these very moments. It was the first time I heard Strange World by Push at the Camden Palace. The dance floor was rammed to a particularly acidic set from Graham Gold. He built the crowd up with some amazing progressive tunes so that everyone was on the same level, just waiting for the moment to explode. He then dropped this tune and the place went ballistic. The Camden Palace is an old theatre and you could see hundreds of clubbers running down the stairwells just to rinse this one out, just to have a moment with this tune. I personally think this track raised the benchmark for trance. Push is a producer who consistently brings out magical, enchanting tunes, such as the massive Universal Nation. He's my favourite producer and even reduced me to tears when I saw him live. Listening to Push made me go out and buy turntables, because if I can one day create the buzz that he can, I will be the happiest person alive. Strange World is his second release. This tune destroyed dance floors and clubbers alike all over the world. What a tune. Going back to the Camden Palace, I was a member of a night called Peach, which Graham Gold set up. I found this to be a life-changing experience, and this is where I can honestly say I was educated in trance.
I used to run this night called Peach, which ended up at the Camden Palace, which is a very legendary venue in Camden, in North London. Even with no guests, we had 1,800 people on a Friday night. Not Gatecrasher, not Cream, not Slinky, not Passion, not God's Kitchen have ever, ever, ever done that. And we achieved the success of Peach without help from Mix Mag or any of the magazines. Music was big. We got zero press.
The Peach Night suited me because they played upfront underground trance and you'd see the same faces on the dance floor each week. I made so many friends there, we were like one big Peach Army with Graham Gold as our leader. We wouldn't want to be anywhere else on a Friday as the night was geared towards us. They played the music we really wanted. Every single night was magical. Amazing music, electric atmosphere. And as I said before, any tunes that would blow me away during the night, I'd listen out for on Graham Gold's show on Kiss 100. He was such a big inspiration. He had so much passion, you could see why Peach was the most successful night in the UK.
There's a night called Fresh going on, and Judge Jules and Dave Lambert were the residents, and I was playing. I used to have this gig in Oxford. Danny went to Radio 1, I got his show on Kiss. Jules went to Radio 1, I got his show on Kiss. I was beginning to make a name for myself on the house scene in London, 93. I worked for Kiss, they ran the Fresh night, and they said, Graham, we want you to front a night. But I was doing Club UK at the time, which was huge. So, and they said, well, you know, Fresh is going to finish, so they wanted me to come up with the name, the DJs. We had a busier night. Our opening night was busier than any night ever at Fresh with Jules. Then I knew that whatever I was doing, I was giving them what they weren't getting anywhere else. You see, the great thing about Peach was, and the great thing about being a successful DJ, I suppose, is that what you want is what they want. You know, they come see you because they know you ain't never going to let them down. You know, they go because they love the night. It's a whole. It's not like you're going to a commercial night out, a cheesy liquid, or a corporate nightclub where it's all about the hits. People come to our clubs because I'm not going to use the word educated, but I can't think of any other word to say. But they come to you play because they know you play what they want to hear, and what they want to hear is great new music. Just I can't describe. They are indescribable, most awesome, awesome nights of a high that you never want to finish. And when you think now, God, why did it have to finish?
So what I'd like to do for you now is present to you a mix I've compiled that attempts to sum up a night in three tracks. We can call it the starter, main course and dessert if you like. Of course, I would love to play a whole 2-hour set for you, but Mr. Producer Man has handed me the task of trying to build a set in just 10 minutes. I hope you enjoy listening to it as much as I did making it.
I build a set in loads of different ways. It's got loads of psychological things that come into play. If it's the beginning of the night, I know that it's pointless to play something tough. It needs to be uplifting, it needs to be quite melodic. It's much more about getting people's rhythms going rather than getting them absolutely stamping their feet. You have to get them going. They're still at the bar, they're still drinking, they're only tapping their feet at the moment, and you slowly have to drop them, bring them in. Big psychology thing is always dropping a big killer uplifting track which will get the girls, and then the blokes generally follow straight afterwards. And then once you've got them into a groove, 2 or 3 songs from that, you can then set your style in place.
So we start off with I Wall Bad Deal. I thought this would be a great opener as it's not too offensive and builds really well. This is the sort of track you'd hear just before the night really kicks in. It's very progressive and I love the breakdown as it just simmers away for ages, just waiting to boil over. As it kicks back in, there's such a sense of euphoria and it just makes you want to get up and dance.
Most trance single, like individual tracks are like a journey, I guess. And it's the expectations and the euphoria. I mean, there's various styles of trance, but I guess that kind of describes the most common one.
Next up is Nico Paresi, Metro. This is one of my favourite tunes at the moment, and I think it's an absolute stormer. I heard Armin van Buuren hammer this at the Two Tribes Festival in Melbourne, and it took me ages to track it down. It blends well with the previous track and brings the mix up to another level. During the build-up, you think the track is going somewhere, but it just gets warped into a frantic, acidic melody which just blows you away when it all kicks back in. Seeing the destruction this tune did to 15,000 people in Melbourne, I just had to use it in the mix.
Don't play a record because you know it works. There's no such thing. Play a record because you love it and you want to share your music with these people when you go out to play.
Now for Thrill Seekers, New Life. We bring the mix into the next phase with more flowing trance. I love this tune so much because it uses very emotive melodies. It's one of the most euphoric tunes that I've heard and it just hits all the right spots. It's a great end of night tune for when everyone's tired and they need a boost with a happy, refreshing moment. Yet keeping it pumping, of course. The breakdown makes you want to cry, laugh, scream, or even hug someone. And I think for me, that sums up trance as a whole.
As a DJ, I mean, I express myself through my music when I'm playing. Music is my be-all and end-all, it's my obsession. That's what I do. I express myself through my music.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the mix and, of course, all the music played throughout the show. Hopefully my influences and experiences have shed light on the music of trance, which is such a big part of my life. And I very much look forward to seeing you on the dance floor.